may be seated. It's good to see you today on this Father's Day. I'm so thankful to have a lot of fathers here, and I see even some adult children here also with your dads. And so thanks for coming and honoring your father by coming and being together. This morning, if you would turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm going to kind of step away from my Colossians series to kind of talk to families today and dads, and just encourage us as a church today to think about what our role is in blazing a trail for the next generation. One of the things, as I stand before you today, there are people that have invested in me, and I've talked to you a little bit about that. And so I want to talk to all of us today about how we can invest in the next generation. So this morning I've entitled the message, Blazing a Trail of Faith, Leaving a Path for the Next Generation. Just recently, this was May 31st right here. Does anybody know what that is? It is a lot of squiggly lines. But this is me on a mountain bike in some trails up in Lapeer, which are some beginner-like trails, but it's a lot of fun. And this is the first day that I kind of jumped back in and for the summer and was riding my mountain bike. So you can see you know, it's kind of like artwork. But one of the things that is so neat as I pulled up to the trail is that someone had come before me and blazed the trail for me. Because if I showed up there to mountain bike and tried to blaze my own trail, I mean, I would probably not get very far. My son and I yesterday were at the same trail, and I was so thankful because I'd just ridden it like a week or so ago, and some of the weeds along the trail were like this. And this last week, when we just went there yesterday, it was all mowed down, and somebody had maintained the trail and kept it up so that those of us who were coming behind them would be able to jump right in and enjoy the trail and not be slowed down by all those weeds hitting our pedals as we're trying to pedal along. Now, I did meet a guy there yesterday, and this is what he said to me. Because he rode with us maybe like one loop. And he said, "For a big guy, you're really fast." Was that a compliment?
Yes.
I think he meant tall, right? Well, that's why I'm out there, buddy. But I think what he was saying is like, I'm out here a lot and I don't see you enough. I don't know what he was trying to say, but I'll kind of take that as a compliment. But if anybody here likes to ride bikes, it would be good accountability to get together and go ride the trails together because it's a lot of fun. Well, today I want to tell you, first of all, of a person who really made an impact in my life, and that was my dad. So I really like his shirt there. Can you see that? Oh, man. He taught me from the beginning. Actually, it didn't seem like he was that much of a Buckeye fan until later on in his life. Maybe he was going a little crazy. But he did taught me a lot of things in my life. And I told you maybe a little bit about my dad. My dad was saved in his 30s. And I didn't know what his former life was before Christ. I just knew my changed dad. And so I hear my mom tell a little bit of the stories of what his life was like before receiving Christ and God coming into his life and changing him. But I honestly didn't see a lot of that old lifestyle because he was radically saved and he was radically changed by the gospel. And so here I come on the scene, and I'm named after my dad. And my son's having a baby, so if he's listening today, we want to have another baby, Theodore. Just kidding. No pressure. That's what I call a baby. Just as a joke. But, and so I'm named after my dad. My dad's named after his dad. And way back, there was also a Theodosia. So that's how we got Theodore. But my dad was a huge impact in my life spiritually. And so one of the reasons why I'm here today is because of him and the way he poured into my life after God changed him. I didn't even know that old lifestyle, because by the time I arrived on the scene, God had worked in him. Now, I'll tell you one thing, he was not a perfect man. He has flaws, and he passed some of those on to me also. And so I stand before you today as a man who's been changed because of my dad, who's influenced me, but also some of those traits that I saw in him, I have some of those too. And so God is continuing to do a work in all of us. And so today, as we think about these things, we want to honor fathers. Because many fathers have cleared a path for us. Some of those are biological fathers, maybe even a stepfather in your life. Some of them are spiritual fathers. I have probably 3 or 4 spiritual fathers that I can think of in my life who really poured into me. And I would not be here today if it weren't for those men's influence. Some are grandfathers who are raising another generation. Some of you have had wonderful fathers. And some of you also carry wounds from absent or even broken relationships of fathers in your life. And we understand that. We may not completely understand what you went through, but we know that every father, as I've been in ministry for a long time, people don't understand why we would honor a father who was like that. But today, I want us to look at Deuteronomy 6, and I want us to see a picture, not merely of a perfect earthly father, but of the kind of spiritual leadership that God calls us to walk in. Today, forgive me, because I'm going to talk to the men a little bit, but ladies, you can apply yourself right into there. Kids, as you're here today, apply yourself into what I'm talking about today as I specifically talk about fathers. Some of you in this room, you might be 21, 23, 28. You're not even married. But there will come a time where if God gives you the opportunity to be married and to have a child, you can take on that responsibility of blazing a trail for them. Some of you today would love to have children. And you're crying out for the Lord to bless your womb in that. And someday there might be that opportunity. And we're praying for you, even as you face that in your life. I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, and then we'll kind of dive in. So in the passage it says this. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. It says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping for all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, lost my place. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall walk of them when you sit in your way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." I don't know if you've done much Old Testament reading, but currently I'm reading through the Old Testament, and I've kind of gone through the Pentateuch, which is the first 5 books of the Bible. And then read some of 1 Samuel and Chronicles and Kings. But one of the things about the Israelites is that God gives them blessings and God tells them to obey. And what do? They disobey. It sounds just like us. And so today I want to remind us and bring us back here to where Deuteronomy 6, Moses picks us up and he's speaking to Israel before they get to enter the beautiful promised land. And he knows that battles are coming. He knows that temptations are coming. There are going to be distractions. And he understands something else really important, and he stresses that here. If faith is not intentionally passed down to the next generation, it will slowly disappear. That faith that we've seen in you, or maybe even in your spouse, may not be passed down in the next generation. And so I'm encouraging us today to be intentional. So Moses here, he's turning to the home. He's turning to the parents to invest in others spiritually. As parents, we're called to lead our families spiritually. My big idea today is let's take up the awesome privilege to lead our families to God. It's a responsibility, but today I want to highlight too that it is an awesome privilege. So in this passage, we're going to see three things about a godly father. And first of all, we see that a godly father loves God first. If you're a mother, a godly mother loves God first. And we see that in the first six verses. But I want to specifically focus in here from verse 4 to 6. In verse 4, it says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Moses begins with what we call the Shema. It's a Jewish confession of faith. And basically, Moses is telling them, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone." In our culture, there are opportunities to move away from a monotheistic approach that there is only one God. And sometimes it's not even Satan that we worship, or even Zeus, or even Baal, because maybe those don't cause us to be lured in, but it might be other things in our lives that cause us to put other things before God in our lives. So my question to all of us, including myself, is how many gods do you worship? Is God on the throne alone? Dad? Mom? Do you love God first and only? This week, my wife and I have the opportunity to celebrate our 32nd anniversary. And the only reason that I've gotten to this point is because usually when I talk to her, I say, "I'm so glad that you're my favorite among many other women." If I said that, I'd be in trouble. You know what? It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to live it. Right? Because in our culture, there's all kinds of distractions for us as men where we could say we love our wives and we're looking at porn on the screen. It's not being very faithful. And all of us men need accountability in these areas. We need to be careful. But here we're talking about a love for God alone. That God is our God alone. That we love Him. This passage goes on in verse 5 and says, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart." Not half-hearted. "To love the Lord your God with all your soul, That's the center of who you are. To love the Lord your God with all your strength. You know what this passage is saying? Love God first and only. Before a father can really love his family spiritually, or lead his family spiritually, he must personally love God deeply. And today, as I stand before you, this love for God is a choice of saying, I will love God. I will make God my priority. I will serve God, Shema, alone. Because there are other gods that will take our time and our money and our distractions and can totally cause us to walk away from God and then walk away from our family. Men, today, we need to fight for our families. Our culture today is trying to attack them. And we need to take a stand and say, I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to love my kids. I'm going to be a man and be responsible to love God first. The first responsibility of a father is not success. That doesn't mean you should not be successful. The first responsibility of a man is not money. That doesn't mean that you can't have money. The first responsibility of a father is not just achievement. It's not just your reputation. It's devotion to our Heavenly Father. Our devotion to God and exemplifying that to our kids, our grandkids, our spouse, our co-workers, to other brothers and sisters within this body of Christ. We have an awesome responsibility and opportunity. I noticed the other day when I was giving announcements, I went back and just watched myself giving announcements. And I'm so sorry that I used the word opportunity so much. But really, as a church, we're just trying to give you opportunities. There we go. Because we want you to plug in to those opportunities. If you don't plug in, it's just an opportunity. Children can often tell the difference between a father or a mother who merely goes to church and a father who truly loves Jesus. The father's greatest sermon that you can ever preach is not when you're driving down the road in your car and you're lecturing your child. It's actually as the children watch how you treat your wife. It's how you handle pressure when everything is clamped down. It's how you talk. It's how you pray. It's how you respond when you fall and you fail. Because it will happen. A father who truly loves God teaches his family that faith is real. It's not some make-believe thing that we just show up on Sunday for an hour. It is real. This hour that we gather together on Sunday morning, it's important. And I would encourage you as a family to prioritize this hour as much as you can. Try to build everything in your life around it. But honestly, this hour here is not going to save your family. It's going to help. But you investing as a mom and dad in your kids, showing them that your faith is real when you're at the bank and when you're at the house and when you're at the sporting event and when you're living life, you have the opportunity to show your faith in Christ. The greatest gift that a father can give his child is not wealth. It's a living example of a genuine faith. I want to apply this today because some of us as fathers, we feel inadequate. Sometimes we feel like we've made a ton of mistakes. good. Just like all of us. Fathers, your children do not need perfection. They need authenticity. You're never going to be perfect until you get to heaven, and I'm not going to either. And there are many times where I stood back as a father, and even now as a grandfather, and I just outright blew it. But it's okay to say, I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? Because the way that I talked to you and the way that I treated you was absolutely wrong. And you come as a humble father and mother to your children and tell them, that's okay. You don't have to be perfect, but be authentic. Be real. Allow God to stir in your hearts and bring you to a humbleness. Because they, as a child, they want to see a man who repents. They want to see a man who worships. They want to see a man who seeks after God. They want to see a man who says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. In verse 6, Moses tells them, and these words that I commanded you today shall be on your heart. What does that mean? That means that we're going to have to remind ourselves constantly to keep these words in front of us, to love God with all our heart, with all of our soul, and all of our mind, because sometimes there's going to be other loves that are going to sneak in and distract us from what the main thing should be. And we make the main thing the main thing. And following after God and loving Him alone. So write these commandments on your heart and mind to live them out every day. Second, we see a godly father teaches faith daily. Some of you might be like, oh no, I'm not a teacher and I can't do this daily. Well, good. Thanks for asking. I have some solutions for you. I'm going to give you some practical things as you, as a father, can really teach your kids, and moms, you can teach your kids in a practical way every day. In the ESV, this verse 7 reads like this, and I want to read it to you in the NIV because I think I like both of the wordings. In verse 7 of the ESV, it says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. The NIV says this, impress them on your children. It makes me think of something that you impress, like you have like a seal or like Tim makes t-shirts and he puts a graphic on the shirt and he impresses that down on that shirt. So the NIV says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and you walk around along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. See, a lot of times, us dads, we can be really good at talking because we have our subjects. I don't know what your subject is, but we can probably ask your child or even your wife as to what your hot topic might be. Some of those might be sports, and that might be what my wife and kids said. Some of you guys in here, I hear you talk about fishing. And you've tried to get me out on the boat. You can keep trying. We'll see what happens. Some of you are golfers. And you like to get out and swing the clubs a little bit. Some of you like politics. Sorry, I have to say it. Some of you like hunting and leisure. And you've got hobbies. You've got classic cars. You got projects that you're working on at home. Maybe it's even your work or career. Some of you might talk finances or even gadgets or current events or even your vacation that's coming up. I mean, go ahead and keep talking about those things, but let me give you another subject that's really important to talk about. Talk about Christ. dads, moms, impress Christ on your heart so that when you're pressed down, that's what comes out, Christ. And you begin to talk about the Word of God. And you begin to talk about like how God is good to you. In this passage, you'll notice a rhythm from verse 7. He says, you're to talk about Christ and the Word of God when you're sitting at the house. You're to talk about God and the Word of God when you're out on a walk, when you're walking around, when you're at the grocery store at Meijer. You're to talk about Christ and how good God is. When you're lying down, I'm sorry, but when you have a teenager, they like to talk at 10, 11, 12. And so that's where I apply this verse right here. When you're lying down, you're like, ugh, can't you talk about this when it's convenient for me to be talking about this? Because sometimes it's not the most convenient time and we feel like they're putting us out, but sometimes it's the time to talk. And we need to be available, moms and dads, to talk to our kids of how life influences them and how Christ works into the cracks of all of these things and our trials and our good times and the victories and everything. And even when we get up in the morning, we talk about Christ. What should you teach them? Teach them what you know. If you don't know much, you should be contacting the office on Sunday and saying, hey, Pastor Ted, I need to be discipled. Because I don't know much, because I need to teach my kids the Bible. And I'll try to set you up with something or we'll do something because I want you to be able to know the Word. There's people here that are willing to teach you. Teach them about God, who He is. Teach them about the attributes of God. I don't know if you've thought about that. Do a little study yourself so that you even know that God is eternal, that God is sovereign, that He is omnipotent, that He's present everywhere, that God is just and He is eternal. Talk about who God is. Point them to the Father. Teach them how to pray. You may not be perfect at it, but that's okay. You'll be learning right alongside. Teach them how to live like Christ. You know, there's one thing to know a lot of Bible facts, but there's another thing to be able to practically live it when the rubber meets the road in life, to be able to practically live like Christ. Teach them. Take opportunities. The Hebrews, they were actually quite successful at this whole method of teaching religious education as they're going throughout life. It was very life-oriented, and that's exactly what Moses is trying to get us to do here. Like, just make it part of your everyday drive, your everyday opportunities. It can't just be 1 hour on Sunday. It can't be just, well, the church is going to teach my kids about Christ. The church should be, and we do, teach about Christ. And I'm so thankful for all of our ministries here, our Sunshine Park, downstairs, who are right now faithfully teaching our kids about Christ. I'm so thankful for our youth team and even Daniel and Hope that will be working with our middle and high school students because they're going to learn even more about God because of them being here. But moms and dads, you're with them way more than anybody else. And so take that opportunity to invest in them. In verse 7 it says, to be vocal, to talk. Did you know that in our culture, one of the most influential people out there in our culture are probably some of the music artists? Even in our culture, because of social media and all the influencers are out there, they are influencing your kids. They are influencing our minds. What are you going to do as a mom and a dad to combat all of that influence and people that are trying to influence them? You better learn, as a mom and a dad, how to become an influencer. That doesn't mean that you need to now have your own Instagram and you're making videos to try to influence them, but you're with them. Become an influencer, right, in your life. And so we as parents, grandparents, we have this awesome opportunity. It's a sacred responsibility, an opportunity to teach our kids about God. Who should you teach? Or how should you teach? Teach diligently. Teach by your example. Teach in instruction. Sometimes you'll need to use words, even in your thoughts, your conversations, in everyday lives. When? Sometimes the most powerful spiritual moments happen in the car, at the dinner table, at bedtime, after a big failure in their lives, during hardships, when there's victories. You point them to Christ. So today for us, the goal is not just raising religious children, but the goal is raising disciples who know the Lord personally. There's a major difference. There's a major difference. If we're talking about loving God alone, if we're talking about teaching our kids daily, some of the opportunities that you might, as parents and grandparents, get to teach your children is how to trust Christ as their Savior. My dad led me to Christ when I was 6, and I remember it to this day. He's such a hero to me, even though I saw him fail me in many other situations. But because my dad showed me Christ, even at a young age, teach your kids how to pray, to trust God daily, how to handle suffering, how to forgive, how to stand for truth, how to love people, how to follow after Christ. And remember, you're always teaching, and sometimes you say nothing. I took a lot of speech classes when I was in college because my minor was composite speech. That just means all different kinds of speaking. And one of the things that the prof was trying to get across to us is that sometimes even just by a pause or how we don't say anything or with our body language, oftentimes we're expressing and communicating. So lastly here, a godly father builds a legacy of faith. A lot of times as men, we are builders. I've seen some of your giftedness and how you can take a car that looks terrible and the finished product is like, wow, look at that car. Or even a house. Even as I look at the pavilion out there and as I drive by now, I'm like, wow, that looks really nice. Those people were gifted in what they were doing, and they were building something, but as a dad, you can build a legacy of faith. In verse 9, it says this, to write them on the doorposts of your houses and your gates. In other words, let God's truth shape the atmosphere of your house, of your home. See, every father, in some ways, leaves a legacy. If you were to begin to think about your dad, you could probably begin to name a couple things that he was known for. Some, it's their financial inheritance. I wouldn't mind that. But that's not what my dad left for me. I wish it kind of was. Some leave painful memories. Some fathers leave brokenness. But the greatest legacy is spiritual. Leave a spiritual path for the next generation. Think about that mountain biking analogy. If I were to go to the woods and try to figure out where I'm going to start a path of writing, it'd be very difficult. But somebody already sat down They designed it. They brought machinery out there. They cut down trees. They even built bridges over water. That's really cool to ride on, ride over. They put rocks right in the middle of the path. Because in life, sometimes there are some challenges that you have to be able to ride over and bridge that chasm. So moms and dads, how are you going to leave a spiritual path for the next generation? Long after careers are forgotten, possessions are gone, the impact of a godly father and mother and a grandparent continues throughout generations. My dad was a teacher, public school teacher, in the inner city of Dayton, Ohio. And there would be oftentimes where we would be out somewhere and someone would notice my dad because he taught them a long time ago. But now, that doesn't happen anymore. There's probably some of his students that he taught may not even be living anymore, and some of them might be. And my dad is not living anymore, and so one of the things that I remember about my dad is because of how he impacted me for the next generation. I'll just say this, that a praying father can affect children, and those children can affect grandchildren. And those grandchildren can affect generations yet even unborn. It's so cool. And you may think to yourself today, I'm not a preacher. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. But that's a good place to be. Because God works through surrendered men. Not perfect fathers, but faithful fathers. Can you think of some fathers in the Old Testament and the New Testament that made mistakes? You thought about Abraham? Why did God bless him? He made a mess of things sometimes. He went to a city and he lied about who his wife was. But God used him. God used David. God said he was even a man after God's own heart. And David failed. Remember the day that he saw Bathsheba and he drew her in to his house and then later had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, killed? Remember that time in the scripture where Peter, three times, he denies Christ? The reason why God used them is because they ultimately returned back to him. So your legacy today is not determined by perfection. It's not determined by how amazing you are. But it's determined by your direction. What direction are you going, moms and dads? And what kind of impact are you making on the next generation? And the next generation. And the next. And the next. Because as you impact your kids, you have an opportunity to impact the next generation. I want to talk a little bit, just I'm almost done, but I'm going to talk just for a minute to fathers who feel like they failed. I know I've talked to some of you, and you came to Christ at a later age. And really, you're just beginning your walk with Christ. You may feel like, man, there were lots of years where I just blew it. How do I dig out of this? And so sometimes as mothers and fathers here today, you might carry regret because you missed moments. You made mistakes. You were absent emotionally or even spiritually. So I want you today to hear this very clearly. The grace of God is way better than your failures. Did you hear that? We're all failures. And God's grace is so big and so inviting and so healing. It's never too late to become what God wants you to do and how to live. You cannot rewrite yesterday. But through Christ, you can begin a new today and a new tomorrow. Because of God's grace in our lives. And I hope you hear me today. Don't just hear me. Do something about it. God, thank you for your grace. Sometimes the most powerful thing a father can say truthfully from your heart is, I was wrong. I can never repay the wrong that I did to you, and I know that. And even today, as a father, you can say, please forgive me. As a father today, you can say, let's follow Christ together. Sometimes humility can heal generations. True humility. Heartbroken humility over our sin and our wrongs that we have created and caused. Embrace that grace, though I know it's hard. But God offers it freely. Today, you may not even be a child of God, but I encourage you to begin to think about, God, I need a relationship with you. That's where this starts. In order for me to be the dad that I can be. Because ultimately, as you run to the Father, it helps you to become a better earthly father. There are some good examples of earthly fathers, but we all here are human. And we will fail. And so today the world needs fathers who love God wholeheartedly, teach truth faithfully, and leave a spiritual legacy courageously. Not perfect fathers, but faithful fathers. And ultimately, every good father points to our perfect Heavenly Father, the one who never leaves us, the one who never abandons us, and loves us completely through Jesus Christ. I stand today as a man who is forever changed because someone gave the gospel to my dad. And the Lord graciously worked in him and brought him to a very humble state to point me and my brother Jim and both my sisters, Christ. And now we're trying to pass that on to the next generation. I just had a granddaughter, and I see her, and I'm like, I want her to know Christ. So, this morning, as we close the service, we're actually, the praise team is going to sing along to the Father, and we're going to have them come up. And this morning, I want to encourage us to run to the Father. And one of the things, one of the lines this song has is it says, run to the Father again and again and again and again. It's not talking about salvation, being saved over and over and over again, but it's talking about there are times when you fail and you run to the Father again. And you come to Him again. And so today might be that opportunity where you need to come and say, God, I need to run to you again. This morning I'm going to open up the front. If you want to come and just pray as a grandma or a grandpa or even a mom or a dad or even a son or even maybe a spouse that you're not even married yet or whatever, just to kind of come and say, Lord, help me in this. I want to pass my faith on to the next generation. And so, there's no need for anybody to come, but it is open if you would like to do that while we sing the song. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gifts of fathers and even father figures in our lives. Strengthen the men and the women in our homes and churches to love you with all of their hearts and their minds and with all of their strength. Give fathers wisdom to lead and patience to teach and humility to repent and courage to stand for truth. I pray, Father, that you would heal broken hearts and relationships. Encourage discouraged fathers. Raise up men and women who leave a legacy of faith for generations to come. And Father, may our homes reflect love and grace. In the same love and grace that you have shown us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.